Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Leanne and I am an alcoholic. For those who care to join, let's open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God,
grant the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. And this is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So the format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. So this evening, we will be discussing steps 5, 6, and 7. And if y'all will help me welcome our panel this evening, we have Bobby and Ralph. We're going to be on page 72. Having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which when completed will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs, or the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There's doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reason why we should do so. The best reason first. If we skip this final step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wonder why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They had only thought they had humbled themselves. but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty, in the sense we find it necessary, until they told someone else all their life story. And I'm going to start off with Bobby.
All right, yeah, my name's Bobby. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Bobby.
My home group is the Joys of Recovery. We meet on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock over in South Norfolk, and we're a big book study. And I'd like to say thank you, if I forget, for having me here tonight. This is really cool. The fifth step, the big deal out of it for me, my first notes underlined in my book, is that this is a real fear-facing step, because I don't know hardly anybody who does this willingly, number one. And most of us have something, like we read in that thing, that has either happened to us, or that we did, or that we saw done, or we allowed to have done to ourselves, that we would prefer to go to the grave never having dealt with ever. And I know what I experienced in my life was that when at 19 I felt like I was a leper, and my solution to feeling like a leper from a sexually transmitted disease, what do you do, right, was to drink myself to death to the bitter end. That's how it was going to go. I was going to die a lonely old, nobody loved me, drunk under a bridge somewhere. And luckily, I made it into AA at 22 before that happened, that time. So the facing of the fear, though, in step five is a build-up. It's a logical progression of build-up, because you can't just go write stuff down on paper and then go expect to face it all on your own power. It doesn't work like that. And so when I sponsor my guys, one of the things I coach them on is the steps that we do leading into the fifth step are to build up spiritual strength and to build up some power to be able to do the big dive off the cliff that is the fifth step. And it's the big facing of oneself. Because in my experience, it's what I think that other people think about me is the big deal. It's all the hurt that I've held inside. And the first time you do the fifth step, for most people, it's just getting that stuff out of your system. And that is a step in the right direction. Get it out of your system and find out that, hey, your sponsor's goat probably died too. So it's not that big a deal either. You know, everybody has different things going on. But facing that fear, what I found is that the surrendering and the coming to believe that there's a power that can help, and then making a decision to trust God to help as we go into this, as we look at ourselves in the fourth step, and we do that wild, wild fourth column where we have to ask, where were we to blame with all this stuff? And it's not all about them, we find out, just like we find out it's not all about alcohol. We get that spiritual strength to face our fears. And I think I'll stop on that one there.
Thank you, Bobby. My name is Ralph. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm from the New Day group. You know, for me, it was a difficult step, actually. I was brought up that you didn't air your laundry in public. Everything that was done with it was kept in the household or kept to ourselves. So we did, and it was a little difficult, you know. It got easier as I did the steps in order, you know. I made that self-appraisal of myself, and it didn't work, because I started to justify these self-appraisals, or they weren't really that bad, you know, stuff like that. So that wasn't working. The thing with me was that once I started sharing all these defects I had, wrongdoings I had done and whatnot, it seems that I couldn't shut my mouth. It seems like everything just started coming out. And I don't know for a reason. I think I had these things held up so long in me, all this garbage inside of me, that once I started to my sponsor, I couldn't stop. I just mentioned my sponsor. Let me say this, because he told me to make sure I mentioned this in the meeting. You know, there's always ways to do the fifth step. You know, I had my parents were deceased, and he told me to write a letter to them or whatnot. And I couldn't write that letter because as soon as I wrote the first sentence, I broke down. And all you saw was tears in the pages and whatnot, you know. And I have a support group also, and one of my support group members says, well, why don't you do it by proxy? We thought that was a good idea. My sponsor was my mother, and this person that suggested it was my dad. And I did it by proxy. I told him everything that was insane. You know? They asked him to forgive me for what the wrongdoings I had done to them. There were plenty of them, you know. They didn't all come out at once because some of them I did forget, but there is always a way to do it, you know. But the thing is, it was done. It was done one day, and I'll tell you what, I felt a lot much better, a lot lighter anyway, you know. I didn't feel I had to carry this garbage with me anymore. So that's right.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, over on page 73. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension that makes for more drinking.
So do we just keep? Yeah. All right. So one of the things here about the hiding, good buddy in my home group said one night, and I remember I wrote it down right in my big book, said, the disease breeds in isolation. So if I hide and I'm in denial about some things, then this dis-ease, and I'll call it a soul dis-ease, it's a very uncomfortable feeling now if I'm hiding and denying about something. And the whole purpose of the fifth step is to get that stuff out in the open. And through the fifth step, the biggest deal is sometimes the facing of it is like sometimes I have to grab myself by the back of the neck, I say, and I have to make myself face something because I'd prefer to run away. It's my natural instinct as an alcoholic to run from anything that hurts a little bit. That's what I did as a little kid, and that's what I did as I first started drinking, and blah, blah, blah. It's a gut natural reaction. It's to go find a cave, preferably with a bottle of booze, right? That's natural. So it's very natural. So it's very unnatural to face myself, to face these feelings inside of all things. The things that, you know, we beat down with the alcohol over the years. And I think I'll stop there. Chris, I wonder else.
Okay, thank you, Bobby. You know, the fear, that fear of somebody really finding out what the constant thing would be, you know. I was raised up in New York, up in the Bronx, and I lived in Tennessee, and I remember going into this blackout where I actually went up to the roof and made surveillance of who was out there, you know, in case anything had done anything wrong, because I couldn't remember, you know. So I had to have to survey the territory before it went down. But I kind of didn't want to face the facts. And I portrayed, when I was sober, I portrayed a different person completely. You know, I wanted to be that person, that caring, loving person, you know. But I really wasn't, you know. All I cared about was booze. And once I had that booze in me, I changed completely. All the morals and all that stuff that I wanted to be, that went down the drain right away. And I was so fearless of people finding that out, who I really was, who what I was doing, you know. But I came here, and when I exposed myself in my fifth step there with my sponsor, you know, that fear seems to have gone away for some reason or other. I don't know if it was because it's not a secret no more, because somebody else knows it, So it's not a secret no more, but I came like liberated from that fear. I go through episodes in my life now, even not sober, like Bobby mentioned, that I want to hide. I don't want to face certain things, you know. I go through these episodes. But I have to go face them and work through them. And when I work through them and whatnot and face them as best as I can, usually the outcome is pretty much better, and at least I'll feel a lot better about myself, and I'm pretty sure other people feel the same way. But I can't hide, me, for this alcoholic, I can't hide behind fear no more. I think.
On page 75. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. We pocket our pride and go to it, eliminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe.
The fifth step promises is what my sponsor called them. And if you see, they kind of do look like the promises that we hear in some of the meetings after the ninth or tenth step, whenever that is. And the freedom that Ralph had just kind of mentioned about is definitely the biggest factor for me. And I like that. It says, we may have had certain spiritual beliefs or thoughts about spirituality, right? But when you actually do the fifth step, and it turns into a spiritual experience. And the experience is that I've done it myself then. So it's not like I have this thought that maybe God can help me face my fears. I have a knowing, a deep, deep knowing that if I get to a point in life that I need God's help, I can get it. I can tap into it. And the way that I've explained it to the guys I sponsor is it's like when that radio is slightly out of tune and that the station's not coming in, it's kind of squat, and you just got to tweak it just a little bit to get it in tune. And sometimes it's just that the volume knob is turned down on the radio. So you're thinking there is no signal from GOD. WGOD is what I like to call it, you know? So my WGOD, I know that that station is playing 24/7. I know it is. But sometimes when I listen, it ain't there. So I got to remember that maybe the knob is turned off. Maybe it's not plugged into the wall anymore. Or maybe, yeah, maybe I did something that caused a breaker to blow. Right? And I do that sometimes through my anger and my fear and my sick need to control. And any of my other number of things, my spiritual pride, that'll kick in and cause me to distance myself from what I've found, the thing that will save me. And to me, guys, that's AA for me. But when my brain kicks in, it can say, oh, you know what? Maybe I'm really not an alcoholic anymore. That's what happened to me back in 97. And I went out for a happy hour that lasted like 11 years. Yeah, it was expensive too. And one of the things that I wrote, because you learn how to do, we're talking about inventory, well, fourth step is the inventory, right? So we're talking about fifth step, but I even did an inventory in 2000 that said, well, I deserve to drink like a normal person because of all the stress and la la la, but if it proves that I really am an alcoholic, I'll go back to AA. And that turned out to be the biggest lie I've ever written on paper, ever, that I'll go back to AA. Because when it finally came that I needed to go back to AA, my ego wouldn't let me come back. And so I digress there for just a little bit from the whole point about the spiritual experience. It's the knowing. So now I have this knowing about WGOD that I know it's there. And I know it's things in me that are blocking me off from hearing and feeling WGOD. Because, man, there's times where I'm feeling it, and all I can do is just be so grateful that I have the 12 steps in my life. And that I don't get any credit for it either, because all I did was screwed up my life so bad that I finally got to the point where I was willing to ask for some help. And when I did, and I cried out to the universe to please help me, then I got the perfect sponsor. I got the perfect home. I got everything I needed. And I got these 12 steps that keep me growing along. And I'll pass that to Beth.
Okay. Look the world in the eye. That was something I didn't want to do. Because the world was looking right back at me. And the world didn't see me as a good person. Even though I saw myself as a great person, as a great individual, you know, I wasn't that great in the world's eyes, so you're too. it took a while, you know, for me to let the world look at me. And now it doesn't bother me, you know. The world will look at me. I'm comfortable with myself. I like who I actually am. Not who I thought I was or who I wanted to be, you know. And there was some fear in that because I didn't think I was good enough or well enough or intelligent enough and all of this for people to look at me, you know. And I've come to find out that is not true, you know. I am who I am, and I'm good enough for all these things, you know. It's hard, you know, because at this time, well, I'll explain that a little further down, you know. I didn't really have a good thought of God, you know. I was actually using the whole group, you guys, as my higher power at that time, you know. I thought my God had abandoned me. I mean, he was to blame for me being at an AA meeting. It was his fault, you know. But had to learn something different, you know. And those was, I think, message of spiritual experiences. You know, God bless those people who have a big spiritual experience. My spiritual experiences come in little, like mile markers, little ones here, little ones there, you know. Like when my loved ones started looking at me with better eyes, and gee, you changed, you know, this and that. The changes that I had noticed in myself, some other people were noticing. These were my spiritual experiences. When I realized I don't do this perfectly, that I even messed up this week, you know, I wasn't reacting to things, I was actually doing it, you know. Those are little experiences for me, you know. When I help somebody, you know, when I open the door for somebody, when somebody puts their purse down and I'm not thinking, man, I'm going to steal it and hide it, you know, and hey, it's your purse, you know. Those are spiritual experiences to me, you know. But, you know, they to me, they come in little mile markers. And that's great. And the thing is, like I said, usually somebody else sees this change in me before I do, you know. I think I was mentioning to Bobby one day that, you know, being that I have about more or less the same sobriety time, that I could see his change, but I couldn't see it on me, you know. And I could actually see his change, but I couldn't see mine. So it, usually other people see it. And that's all I got.
Page 75. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an ark through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand?
And on that, I'm going to turn back to the part right before the 12 steps, where it says, we stood at the turning point, and we asked his protection and care with complete abandon. And that's what it takes to dive into the fifth step for me. Because you know what? I always think my stuff is the most worst stuff in the whole world. And that's where it comes in really handy to have a good sponsor who can explain some of the stuff, because we're going to go in steps after that. So I want to say this about some of the worst stuff in my fifth step. So back when I was 19, it was so bad that I felt like a leper. I couldn't even write it down on paper because I was afraid somebody would break into my apartment and steal it and put it on the front page of the Virginia Pilot Ledger Star. Right? And then I would never have a date ever again. Yeah, okay, whatever. So I got over that over the years. But the stuff that I ended up writing, that, like I said, I drank hard from 2000 to 2011. And the things that I did in my marriage and having two beautiful kids, that was impossible when I first got to AA, because I was going to die a lonely old leper man. So I got a wife who I met in the program, two kids, lovely, very smart and beautiful. And the drinking, in the end, took me so far away from them. I was just a dude that was working, bringing home the paycheck, living in the house, and doing whatever I wanted, anytime I wanted. And I would pay some attention when I really had to. When the big book talks about the self-centered to the extreme and self-will run riot, I totally identified with that. That was me. And there was a point somewhere in the last 3 to 5 years that I remember sitting on a couch, and I had my scotch glass in my hand, of course. And I remember having some argument with the wife, and I remember thinking that something in me snapped. It was like a string. It just went, pew. And it was like, I don't care anymore. I don't care about you. I don't care about those kids. I don't care about the job. I don't care about nothing. And F everything, right? So, and then the drinking got even worse, because I really didn't care. I just, something snapped. And so when I first got back to AA, I didn't think I'd ever have a connection again. And a matter of fact, I was telling myself for a long time, I'm just going to get drunk again anyways. You might as well put yourself out of misery right now. Because this whole staying sober can be very miserable when you're first starting, right? And even sometimes in the long run, hey, it happens. Because my great forgetter kicks in. And I forget to do the things I know I need to do. And that's why this program is such a wonderful thing, because we have these people called sponsors that can remind us of little basic stuff like, hey, have, and we joke, because some of my guys will do it with me, well, I know you're just going to have me write this down. And it's like, hey, this is the way I learned it. Because when we break out that paper and pencil, pen, whatever, and we write it down, it gets out of the squirrel cage in the brain, get it down there, and get it out in the open. And I totally got distracted from what I was going to say about this very thing. Oh, the walking in freedom. I just wanted to tell you about Joe and Charlie, if you haven't heard of them yet. Because so much of what I have in my sobriety really came from listening to Joe and Charlie tapes. And of course, great sponsors, just great sponsors. Workshops, like I've had here in this building. Y'all brought the folks down from Richmond. I just wanted to share that, because the fifth step is something you just can't do on your own. It's pretty impossible. It's, you know, and the freedom that they talk about, this building an arch thing, the big book is pretty descriptive with that. And about going through it as a free man, because everything at that point, once you get the freedom of the fifth step, getting out some stuff, and then seeing some of these things and having them listed, which we're going to get to right very shortly here in the sixth step. So I'll stop right there.
All right, you know, that arc, I started building that arc in my home group. We always have usually Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we get my sponsor. We have a little meeting after the meeting, and that's where I got my support group from, and these were my bricks laying down. But there was still something missing, you know. And my sponsor told me this right after. He says, just go to a quiet place and sit there for an hour. You know, which I did. Right after I sat there for an hour, that is, when I realized a big pink cloud. I had never felt a pink cloud even when I first came in. But when I did this, I got that pink cloud. And that is when God, as I understand him, started coming into my life. That's when I realized there was something much bigger than me. And that God was the keystone that kept that arch together. And that's what happened to me. You know, it was such a good feeling, you know, that I thought it was going to last forever. Unfortunately, it doesn't. They go away. And I've tried to rehash that feeling in my life. There's never come that greater feeling, but it has come close to it in other situations, other circumstances. But that was the beginning of me actually getting closer to God of my understanding. You know? That's what I told you, I did that thing. But I recommend that for anybody after the first step. Just go to a quiet place and meditate for a little while. And from my experience, it was great, you know. That really turned my life around, you know. My sponsor, we did the steps right through the books, just as the big books, Bobby, just like the big book says. So we did it from the big book. And I guess that's the way his sponsor did it with him, and that's the way I do it with my sponsees. That's the only way I know how. That's the only thing that has kept me and things, you know. But I definitely needed that keystone to keep that arc together. And and I could walk through that arc today and ask for help and whatever I need. That's all I have.
Thank you. 876. If we can answer to our satisfaction and then look at step 6, we have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing.
The willingness to change. You know, I'll get some willingness to change when I hurt really, really, really bad. Yeah, I'm an alcoholic. You know? Yeah. When my butt is on fire, that's when I'll choose to find God. And yeah, like Richard Pryor said, yeah, everybody find God fast when he's on fire. It's really true. So the willingness to be changed at depth is the way I first read it in the Sermon on the Mount by Anna Fox way back when. And the key for me is that I've got to have a very bad negative experience with the way that I'm running my life before I will be open to having it changed at all. And that's just a different way of saying the same thing, I guess. So, am I willing? Am I willing to be changed? Coming off of the motorcycle wreck on October 15th, 2011, I was really willing to be changed at that point. You know, I had road rash. I had ended up face down on the Chesapeake Expressway. And the cops took my blood at the hospital, those jerks. And it was a .20. What's that, 2.5 times the legal limit or something like that. So I couldn't argue with them that I wasn't drinking, right? They had me. And it brought my happy hour, my unhappy happy hour, to an end, a screaming, halting end at that point. And so I was forced back to AA. I knew what I needed to do, right? And it's amazing how, even though I got a DUI hanging over me, I wrecked my beautiful Harley Davidson. Oh, by the way, I had my wife on the back, too. She got hurt a little bit. Nah, not as bad as me, of course. You know. And my mom and her husband had to come to Norfolk General Hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning when they were said, your son and daughter-in-law were in a motorcycle accident, you know. And I had to deal with that. And we didn't get to the amends, but that was the hardest amends I had to make, was to my mom, to say, Mom, I'm so sorry that you had to do that, that I almost killed, almost killed us, you know, and then you would have been dealing with the grandkids all on your own. And sorry that, you know, I turned my back on AA at one point and decided I wanted to go back to living my alcoholic life my way. And anyways, that, some of the character defects that I have to write down to let go. Sometimes the first time through doing the fifth step and doing the fourth step, the focus is to just get the stuff out. Second, third, and on times, is that's time to find some nuggets down in that coal somewhere, because there are. If I keep repeating the same negative experience, then maybe I can find out what it is in me that triggers something in life. Like, I have this way of kicking people off my island. Do you remember that deal where they would kick people off the island? They vote you off the island. Well, I can vote people off my island in a heartbeat. If you don't like me, ha, you're off my island. You know, and because then you know that with that little ego thing inside, oh, they don't like me, and I can get my feelings hurt so easy, right? I think you know. Ruff mentioned something here about that sense of, hey, I'm okay just the way I am. Wow, man, that is priceless. Some people have to pay really, really big money to go to therapy for a lot of years to get to that one little nugget of truth that we're all okay just as we are. And the big book says it in so many different ways, that we're a child of God deep inside. Every man and woman is the child of God who we really are. It's covered up by this stuff. This personality stuff, that to me is what the sixth step is all about. And so for me, what I share with my guys, the purpose of the sixth step is to identify the negative thing. Identify the negative thing that's getting in the way, and then become willing to not do that anymore, but let's start practicing the opposite. So if I am self-centered again, then I've got to practice being other-centered. You know, look out for other people. If I'm getting fearful, I have to practice the opposite of being afraid. I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust that God's going to help us all through the stuff that we're dealing with. And there's always some stuff in life. It just is. So I'm practicing the opposite. But the humble part of this step that I've hit many times in the last 3 years is that I have to ask God for the strength to even practice the opposite. Because what I find is I can't even get there on my own. I can get stuck. I can admit I'm scared. I'm scared of, you know, my job. Oh, they hired a new person. Oh, I'm scared. But if I can't get past that to trust. So one of the things that I'm doing is I'm trying to love my way out of my current job. So I've learned too much in this program. I can't say I hate my job anymore. I can't do that. So I have to love my way out of it. And I have to train people and try to get everybody and teach them everything I know. I'm treating everybody at work like a sponsee. They don't know it. They don't know it, right? I'm training them, teaching them. This is how you're going to do this when I'm not around. That's what I'm doing. I learned that. I learned that in the 12 steps, though. I would have never came up with that one on my own either. I say that all the time, right? I would have never came up with these things that I end up feeling and doing in this program, sitting on the bar stool at Red Bones on happy hour on Thirsty Thursday. Would have never, ever happened. you know, just to get back to the first part of that, the humbleness. It used to be humble when I had to say, oh, I'm sorry, I really screwed up, and I really felt like a scurvy dog, you know. That's not it, like a worm. It's now, humble takes on a new meaning when I get glimpses of it. And then this isn't all the time, believe me. But it's when I realize that I can't do it myself, but there is a power that can help me grow to the next level. And just as I was telling you about my kids, where I got to where I didn't care about them at all. In my first year, my sponsor had to talk me into being of service to my family. Now, some of y'all might think that's a little bit weird, right? Be of service to your family. But I was so far gone, I had to do that. I had to grab myself by the back of the neck and say, you will do these dishes. You will take her to Girl Scouts. You will take the 15-year-old with her friends to the mall. You will do this. And you will say yes the first time anybody says anything. And I had to talk to myself like that kind of hard at first, because that part of me that just didn't want to do anything for anybody but do what I wanted. I'll sit around and play guitar all day long. Just leave me alone. But this program has taught me to say yes and to do, sometimes to just do the thing that I don't want to do, because it's probably the right thing. Because if my gut personality ego reaction is I don't want to do it, chances are it might be the right thing. And if I need to, I just check my sponsor, because he knows me. He knows me from these steps. And I'll stop right there. Thank you.
You know, the willingness, that was something that I really had to comprehend on this step. I didn't realize that it took willingness. You know, I thought by asking God to remove these defects of character, they disappeared, you know? They're the magic wand, you know? No, I have to have the willingness. I have to have the willingness to work on these characters, defects I have. Like Bobby said, it took a lot of practice. And I'm still practicing them, you know, because I have that willingness to practice. And I actually want to be a better person to everybody and my loved ones, you know. Like Bobby said, then at the beginning I was a yes man. Yes, 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 you know. Plenty of times, well, you know, I didn't want to do things, but they were the right things to do. So I had to force myself to say yes. I had to practice these things to say yes, you know. And, you know, by me saying yes, I will mention this. By me saying yes to these things, my wife divorced me in 1977 because of my behavior, you know. Once I came to AA and I got that willingness to be a better person and to correct my my defects of character, I had to do some action on it. My wife, which divorced me in 1977, is back with me, you know. And all I do was, that's why she has no objections to me going to AA meetings. Some people do. I have no problem with that. Even when she sees me on my camera, you know, a little sort of out of shape, man, you need one of those meetings, you know. Go, you know. But, you know, so it works for both of us. Even though she doesn't have a program I have, she knows she sees this in me, that I've become a better person. And when I do mess up, I try to make, well, that comes later, man. And, you know, and I'm willing to correct these things in me. That's what comes with it. And some of it takes practice, you know. And some of them, I'm still practicing. Some of them takes a lot, you know, kind of slow sometimes. So some of them takes a lot of practice. But I am willing to do the action that it takes for these steps.
Thank you. Great. And our last paragraph is on page 76. When ready, we say something like this: My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7.
Well, the powerful part in that for me is where it says, I pray that you now remove from me. Because I was under the false assumption, and I get this way sometimes, that I do the work. That I have to work on it really hard. And I can do the, you know, I can do the inventory, la, la, la. But sometimes, I can't figure it out. And sometimes it just needs to be kept simple. Really simple. Am I being loving? What a basic, simple question. What's my motive? That's another really, really good question. What's my motive? The other thing I wrote while it was being read was the commitment to change. Because this step, this prayer especially, is a commitment to change. Asking God to please come in and change me at depth. Because the person I am is going to drink again, it's going to hurt other people, and it's going to wreck everything. Badly. I know that. That's what the alcoholism will do. But I know from these steps, if I'm tuned into WGOD, and I can be loving, because I tell you, of myself, there's sometimes I can't even be loving. I just can't. But at least now I know, and I can catch that. I want to share with you the 6th and 7th step that I did over the summertime and the fall. we were going to the Wakefield campfire, which I'd highly recommend to anybody if you haven't been there. It was really cool. We really enjoyed it. For the people that put it on, it was awesome. And I spent a few days away from the house, and my sponsor, we had done, you know, this steps and been through it. I'm sponsoring, this is year number three. And we were talking about something. He's like, hey, why don't you do another deep dive on 6 and 7? I said, you know what? I think that's a great idea. Thank you. I'll do that. I wrote the story of my relapse, and it was like about 6 pages of the things that led up to my getting away from AA. And one of them that was a pretty prime one for me is that I had this special character defect called spiritual pride, and it tells me that AA is just kindergarten, spiritual kindergarten. I can find some better way to be more fixed, more holy, more spiritual. And that what drives me to do that is that, you know, I grew up in an alcoholic home and blah, blah, blah. And I got all these labels I can wear. It doesn't matter. There's a hurt, scared little kid in me that wants to be perfect so that life won't hurt anymore. And so I had to write a story of my relapse to find the things that happened, at my self-centeredness. When I decide that I'm going to do what I want, and I don't care about other people, that's a big, bad sign right there. And you're like, oh, here's your sign. Ooh, self-centeredness, here it goes again. Watch out. Could be a cliff up ahead. And that spiritual pride will have me searching for other ways. And what I found is I get what I need right here, and doing what we're doing. I hear the right thing through the right people at the right time. I get the right sponsors at the right time. And this is what I recommend. There's times where you can just be funky, can't even put a finger on it. Just not having a great day. Go to a meeting, and I sit down in that meeting, and when they're reading how it works, And I'll just quietly say, okay, God, please talk to me through somebody at this meeting. I don't know who it's going to be, but please just talk to me, because I need to hear it. And I'm telling you, when I do that, it works. And I've had the Creator just say some stuff that just blew me away through people that we've talked about it. You know, we would normally not hang out and mix earlier in the big, but in a meeting. And just go, wow, that was exactly what I needed to hear. And the key is that I need to hear it through other people because, you know, this book has got a lot of the answers in it. But we have to do it, and we have to do it together. Because otherwise we just give the book, and I could give my highlighted version to somebody and say, here you go. I won't even charge you for it. It's got all the good parts underlined. And y'all chuckling, so you know what I mean. We have to do this stuff together. And just when I think I've learned something else will come along. So when my recovery is going really good, all of a sudden my 15-year-old comes down with anorexia. Bam! Oh, wow. Taught me a whole new level of surrender. I'm powerless over her eating disorder in an incredibly big way. I'm powerless. I'm powerless over my wife's codependency. And, you know, and all that stuff. And these 12 steps, and I tell you, I do get excited about it, and I really appreciate getting a chance to be here and talk with y'all, because I really know that what I need is here at AA. It's in the 12 steps, it's in sharing with other people, and in getting a sponsor with other people, keeping it alive in me, because I might forget all those stupid drunk things that I did if I was just left to my own devices, and I'd sit around, be spiritual, meditate, and be blissed out. Well, yeah, I don't have time for that right now. And I know there's a line there somewhere that God would have us with our feet on the ground, head in the clouds and feet on the ground, and I can really appreciate that, because I need to be reminded that WGOD is on 24/7, and I hear that in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'll stop there.
Okay, you know, it says for you to remove from me every single defect of character. Why and for what? You know, why should I have all these character defects. It says every single one. It doesn't say just some of them, you know, and I won't keep the ones I want, you know, every single character. Why and for what? So I could be useful to him and to others. That's the answer right there, you know. Some of those character defects would stop me from being a useful human being, even to myself. Never mind about my God as I understand him, or to you guys, you know. But that is my thing, you know, and I do his bidding through him, you know. We said a little prayer before, and that's more or less what I asked for, you know. For him to give me the words to be of maximum service to you guys, you know. It doesn't say I'm going to ask about me, you know. I want this, I want this, I want no. It's giving me his bidding for others, to be useful to others, to him and to others. And that's what I get out of that step six, you know. Being useful, being to others, you know, like I said earlier. Just, you know, I live in a senior citizen's home, you know. Senior citizen's complex. And one day somebody threw a bottle in the grass back there, and that was bothering me. It was a Friday night. That was bothering me that Friday night. I went to bed thinking about that bottle, you know. And the answer was so simple. The Saturday I went and picked it up and threw it away where it was supposed to be. And I didn't think about it no more. So, you know, I do little things like this, especially the weekend when there's no maintenance crew there. You know, people drop something or do this. I pick up these things, you know, and throw where they're supposed to throw. And, you know, it makes me feel a lot better. Because I like to see the place clean. I like, you know, I lived there, you know, not like before. I was the one that left things around and threw things around, you know. But those things, doing things like this make me feel better. You know, and when I feel better, other people feel better around me. I don't know, it might be contagious. I have no idea, but I know when I'm feeling better, I'm doing the right things. Other people around me feel a lot better around me. So, you know, that's the main part to me. That's what it is here. To remove this defect or character so I could be useful to others. And that's all I have on that.
Thank you so much. All right. At this time, we're going to pass the seven tradition basket. Every A group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. And are there any AA-related announcements this evening?
My name is Ellen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ellen.
My home group will be looking again at meetings tomorrow at 5:30. We're having an evening meeting and then a panel discussion afterwards on a faith that works. We're going to have three speakers talking about that subject. Meeting at 5:30. We'll start the meeting at 6:15 or so. We'll have the panel. It's at Christ in St. Luke's Church at Old Eden Road. Stop the gardens. Please bring something to share. But if you don't have anything, don't let Becky know.
Thank you. Yes.
Hi, my name is James. I'm an alcoholic.
Hello, James. James.
Everybody. Joys of Recovery on Thursday, April the 16th. We'll celebrate 6 years as a group. And we will have a potluck eating meeting with the speaker. Dinner is at 7. Speaker is at 8. And if the planned schedule comes to pass, it's going to be an awesome speaker. Highly recommend it. 521 Providence Road.
Thank
Chester.
You.
Cool.
Thank you.
Any other
AA
announcements?
It's a go-go, by the way.
Yeah.
The Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, if you'll raise your hand. And newcomers. Real important that we get to know you this evening. If you're in your first 30 days of sobriety, we'd like to welcome you. If you'd like to raise your hand and give us your first name. Yes.
I'm Carrie, an alcoholic.
Hi, Terry.
Hey, I'm Rebecca, I'll call it.
Hey, Rebecca.
Yes.
Pamphlets are free and books have a small charge. It's just written in the side of the front cover. If you'd like to buy a book, just see one of the home group members or me after the meeting. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. Anyone willing to be a sponsor, please raise your hand. Okay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship in AA, our group tonight will have two people up at the table up here, Ryan and Rick. They'll be right up here. So if you have any questions about what sponsorship is or anything like that, see one of them after the meeting. Reminder for smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All of our meetings are recorded and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. If you'd like to receive an email letting you know of any upcoming events that this group has, you can register on the website, and it will send you a confirmation. You need to confirm with that link, but we'll send out flyers for our Supper to Speaker, which we'll be having in May. We'll probably announce that next week. So in closing, I'd like to thank Bobby and Ralph again. Thanks to all who participated. After closing and after we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the steps discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be at Plaza del Sol. It's down on Colonial and 22nd Street. We always head down there after the meeting, so please come and join us if you'd like. We'd love to have you. And let's see. Can I have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on 164, Robbie?
I'm Robbie, an alcoholic.
Hey, Robbie.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
And after the meeting, please feel free to come up and thank the speakers. And if you'd like to join with the Lord's Prayer, we'll make a circle of the room.
Ladies, you're both praying. Stop.
But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.